Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start off by just saying Merry Christmas. You are probably in the routine of being with family and just celebrating the fullness of the joy that comes in Christmas. That's why I think this message fits in today quite well. It's about family life, and it's also about an angel that appeared. We've been talking about that all through the month of December. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Dear friends, family life, it can be the best of times. It can also be the worst of times. Family life, it can be, things can be going really well. Family life, it can be very much a struggle. Consider a family gathering for Christmas and the day of Christmas. Leading up to those days, each member of the family eagerly anticipates with joy how that day is going to go. Each person anticipates everyone getting along. Each person anticipates everyone partaking in the same Christmas activities as they always have in the past. Each member anticipates everyone minding their P's and Q's and not going down that road of those conversations they shouldn't have at the Christmas table. Each member anticipates being full of turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes or whatever you eat. I'm thinking about that right now. Each member, of course, anticipates great joy. Family life can be of the best of times. But then Christmas Day comes, and all the members of the family realize that everybody else had a different picture of how that day would actually go. One member, and you can imagine which member of the family this would be, one member thinks the day is for watching sports, uninterrupted except for a little halftime break to get some chips and some goodies. Another member, they think the day is to be honored as the day of the longest nap throughout the year, and they're cuddled up on the couch. Another member, they think the day is about playing with remote control cars and enjoying toys. And then there's that other member who thinks the day is about having a perfectly decorated table with delicious food and well-behaved children at the end of the table. Of course, once everyone realizes that everyone else in the family has a different picture of how the day will go, that's when family life can be not so good. Add on some of the struggles that we're experiencing this year in 2020, the pandemic, the changes in routines, the strife, those tough conversations that are out there that are so easy to mention and have conflict. Family life can be a struggle. Maybe it's a struggle for you this year. And that is why we're taking a look at this text from Luke chapter 1. This text encourages us to look at two specific families. Those families are mentioned in the text that Aaron just read. One is Herod, and the other is Zechariah. The text said, as Aaron just read, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest whose name was Zechariah. Those are the two families. Let's talk about Herod's family first. Herod, my goodness. Herod is that guy who actually had that edict to kill off all the baby boys who were 2 years of age and under around the region of Bethlehem. That is just pure cruel. You can't get around it. But it gets even worse when you consider his own family. He married 10 women, killed two of them, and then knocked off three of his sons. Then consider what he did when his dad was closing out his time as ruler. Herod invited over all of his father's enemies for a big banquet. And when the doors were closed, he knocked off each of those enemies of his father. Then Herod himself had an amazing plan. When he was about 70 years old and close to dying, he wanted the entire region to mourn and grieve his life and death. And he knew that wouldn't happen, so he came up with a plan, and the plan was this. He was going to invite all the leaders to the city of Jericho, and locked the city gates. And once the city gates were locked, then Herod was going to have them knocked off themselves. That way, you see, everyone would grieve and mourn, and Herod would be honored in that way. What a tragic life. What a tough family life. To win at all costs, to eliminate your enemies, even to the point where you would destroy your own family, that's Herod. Now, I can guess what you're thinking. Pastor, why are you talking about Herod? I mean, that's kind of gruesome just 2 days after Christmas. My family doesn't remind me anything of Herod or his family or his life. I support my family. I spend as much time as I can with my kids playing those remote control cars. I would never raise my hand to another member of my family, certainly not another relative. But here's the truth. We look at ourselves in the mirror because of sin and our sinful condition. It's not just what we do. It's actually inherently a part of us. When we look into that mirror, there is a smidgen of that person that appears back to us is a little bit of Herod. There's a part of us that would like to rule and dictate and have power rather than serve our family. There is a part of us that would like to win and eliminate our enemies, no matter what would happen. There is a part of us that would like to get ahead, even if it meant the destruction of our own families. And yes, we wouldn't raise our hand probably against a relative, but wouldn't we raise our voice and say a word that we shouldn't? And we would never make an intentional choice probably to hurt our family, but don't some of our selfish choices hurt our family members, those people that we love so much? And the result? Yes. Sometimes, way too often, our family life resembles Herod and the terrible, gruesome story of his life. But we're not here just 2 days after Christmas to talk about Herod. There's another person in this text that's important to uplift. That's Zechariah. Zechariah didn't have the Twitter account and the Twitter followers of Herod. Herod actually had an adjective to his name, which was the Great Herod. Zechariah didn't have that. Zechariah didn't have the connections in the community. The big thing that was going against Zechariah that's described in our text today, both for Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, is that they were barren and didn't have any children. And as Aaron read for us today, Elizabeth calls her condition and her calamity disgraceful. She's ashamed and embarrassed. Now, just a note about how this worked back in Zechariah's day. If you had children, you had everything. You were well-to-do and you were healthy. If you didn't have children, you didn't have anything. You didn't have anything going for you. It was a disgrace. It was upsetting. And these two individuals were really getting on in years, and there was very little chance that things would turn out in a different way for them with a child. Maybe you're feeling a little bit like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Maybe you're feeling barren, feeling empty. Maybe in a way that really relates to them. Maybe you're in a relationship and you want to have children and you're infertile. Maybe you're single, wanting that partner, but you just can't find that person. Or maybe you're in a marriage and it's just not going the way that you thought. Or maybe you're just feeling emptiness in general with what has happened in 2020. And you just don't think there's much hope for what's coming in 2021. That describes a lot of people these days. Well, here's the good news. God intervenes. And God gives three gifts to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And my friends, this Christmas, he gives these three gifts also to you. The first gift listed up here is this: God's promises never end. Now, the book of Genesis has a story that that cycles throughout the chapters. And that story is this. The leading women, the matriarchs, they themselves are barren. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, they feel disgraced themselves and embarrassed and like second-class citizens compared to all the other women in these stories. You add on another one whose name is Hannah in 1 Samuel. There's four ladies that are barren and disgraced. And what we know is that God delivered, and they all four ultimately had a child. God kept those promises to those individuals. But here's the thing. Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't say to themselves, oh, God did those promises a long, long time ago, but he wouldn't do them for us today. That's not what they said. They lived by faith. And they said this, because God did those promises so long ago to those four individuals, why not us? Why wouldn't he also follow through on his promises as well? My friends, hear this today. If God can be faithful in his promises to Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Hannah, and Elizabeth, he will be faithful to you. God loves you, and his promises through Jesus will be fulfilled. Have you given up on a relative? Has a relative given up on you? Have you given up on a parent? As a parent, have you given up on a child? Have you given up on grandparents? Have grandparents given up on grandchildren? The point is this, God will never give up on you. That's the first gift. His promises never end. Zechariah and Elizabeth held on to that, and that's the first gift of Christmas. We can hold on every single day as we enter into 2021. Now, there's a second gift here in this text, hidden, and that is this. God's presence never disappoints. Never. Zechariah had an unusual job. He was a priest, not like any other priest, but it was his role and duty to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer burnt sacrifices, and incense would go up. And while Zechariah was doing that, the rest of the people were outside the temple, and what they typically did while the priest was in was that they prayed at that exact moment. It was a special time. And when this was happening in our text, an amazing thing happened. An angel appeared and spoke to Zechariah, and it uplifted him, this message that came to him from this angel. It changed things instantly for him. And Zechariah felt God's presence, and it did not disappoint him. My friends, you too can have that experience. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that separated the priest from the people was torn in two. You don't have to go through an intermediary like a priest like Zechariah. You can have God's presence right there with you every single day heading into 2021. When you commune and receive the body and blood of Jesus, when you read God's word, when you simply pray. And my friends, the second gift says this to us, God's presence never disappoints. Finally, there's a third gift described in our text, and that is this, God's plan never fails. It always comes to pass. That plan for Zechariah and Elizabeth, of course, was that they would have a son. And it was prophesied that this son would come before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, and that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Wow, that's pretty spectacular to have a child like that. And I'm sure there was some doubt in Zechariah's mind that that plan could actually come to pass, especially at an old age. But when John the Baptist was born, this came true. God's plan never fails. God's plans for you, my friends, will never fail. What are his plans for you in 2021? I can tell you his plans. God's plans is for your family to remain intact for husbands to love wives, for wives to love husbands, for parents to love children, and children to love parents to grandchildren, grandchildren to their grandparents. That's God's will for you in the next year. And that can be done by living in Jesus' strength and forgiveness. Family life. Wow. It can be up, it can be down. The best of times, the worst of times. When things go south, remember Herod. Don't go that way and fly off the handle and destroy your family. Go the way of Zechariah and live by these gifts. They're yours this Christmas. God's promises never end. God's presence never disappoints. God's plan never fails. You doubt me on that? Ask Zechariah and Elizabeth. Amen.